The FNX network is filled with awesome content and amazing shows just like these.
Here's where the action is.
Wrestle Radio Australia.
Here's where the action is.
Three shows, one network.
Here's where the action is.
Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez.
Just enjoy the ride with this particular long-haired Persian house husband.
Axe Cast with Josh the Axe Shooter.
Hey guys, make as much noise as you can.
Sleep.
Don't fucking say anything.
You can edit this out, right?
Yeah.
And WRA with me, Josh Armour, and the wordsmith, Sean Fuster.
That was a crazy show, and I'm glad we survived it to come here.
Backstage, people are yelling out, "Oi, the show's bloody started!" And I'm downstairs getting a photo shoot done. And I was like, "Oh shit!"
All of this is yours for free. Subscribe to Wrestle Radio Australia on iTunes or check us out on fnx.network. Wrestle Radio Australia, it's where the action is.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the world's almost finest podcast. Jake here. Before we get into the main topic of today, I want to go ahead and let everybody know that, yes, we are still here. We are still producing episodes of the world's almost finest podcast. We've just had some technical difficulties. It happens. That's what happens when you're trying to build not just a business, but you're trying to build a brand. You're trying to build a show. You got to go through these little bitty problems that always seem to pop up every now and then. But with that being said, today we talk about a lot of things. We talk about monsters, kaijus. We rank some of our favorite monsters. We talk about some stories that, you know, when we sat down to record this, they were rather new. But, you know, it is what it is. So sit back, relax, open your ears, and enjoy this edition of the world's almost finest podcast. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to episode 62.
We're kind of a senior citizen, not quite there, but 62.
Yeah, exactly, 62. Here on the world's almost finest podcast, Jake here along with Travis.
That's me.
And we are here to talk all kinds of different things today. We're going to cover a little bit of Spider-Man news. We're going to talk some classic Batman. We're going to talk the summer 2016.
I went and seen O-Town in 98 Degrees.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome. I saw Dream and whoever Ryan Cabrera is. I don't even know what I'm saying his name.
Ryan Cabrera?
Sure, that sounds right.
Yeah.
He played a guitar and only got a reaction when he did a Goo Goo Dolls cover and a Third Eye Blind cover. So he's got good taste in music. However, I'd never heard of the guy.
Oh, I watched an NKOTBSB concert at home.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to that when they were in Indianapolis, but unfortunately I was not able to. Did, however, go see Backstreet Boys later on, but 98 Degrees, still got it. O-Town, they're down a man, but they still got it. Dream, I was a little disappointed. But those broads still look good.
Really?
Yeah. However, they got no rhythm, but they're cute.
I don't even know if I remember Dream. That's what's sad.
They sing a song, That Was Her, Baby, This Is Me.
I don't know that one.
And He Loves Me, He Loves You Not.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, they came out when I was in, I think, the 7th grade.
It's probably one of those things I gotta hear the song, actually.
And I are nothing alike. You're confusing day with night.
Still nothing.
That was her, this is me.
Oh, it's still going on?
We're different as can be.
Okay, we're here now.
She and I are nothing alike.
Nice.
You're confusing day with night. That was then, this is now. You want to trust me, but you don't know how. Okay.
Stumped?
Yeah, I can sing. This is my thing with music. I know a lot of music, but like I have to sing along with the track
right, to
get it all like spot on. And when I went and seen Freak Show last, the guy said, "Hey, you knew all except for three songs that we did." And I said, "Yeah, I have this gift where I just sing along with music."
Right.
However, if you turn the music off, very rarely do I know all the words.
remember that when we were in Indianapolis, we were going to go to that 90s concert?
Yeah, we were going to go, wife. But the only person we knew on there was Casey and JoJo.
Well, people we knew on there.
Oh, yeah, same thing.
I don't know a man who has a middle name of And.
Yeah, I could have heard all my life. And possibly a How Do You
Pray
Want
It? Someone like you. See, I know that one.
We might have experienced them singing along to a track of How Do You Want It. We just won't know. Shout out to scumbag Mark Vandy, who went and seen a bigger scumbag in Indianapolis, Kanye West.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
I'm not. He can take Kanye West. Take him far away.
Speaking
maybe
of Kanye
we
West, O-Town did a cover of Stronger, and it was, I enjoyed it.
Stronger.
That Don't Kill Me Can Only Make Me Stronger.
Yeah.
They did a cover of it. It was really good.
Yeah, one of the top five indie wrestling theme songs.
You know, believe it or not, this is something that they said at the 98 Degrees concert that actually blew my mind. It was actually called the My 2K Tour. It's a very popular tour going on right now in the smaller, like, theater regions.
Right.
But do you remember Total Request Live?
Hell yes, I remember TRL.
Do you know that's been off the air for 16 years?
I believe so. I watched a show on MTV Classic about it.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
15 or 16 years. But basically, that's what the My 2K tour was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the year 2000, a lot of things, 2000, 2001-ish, a lot of things came to an abrupt end.
Yeah.
I mean, NSYNC fell apart.
Yeah, thanks to Michael Jackson.
Yes, yes. Not many people know this. Michael Jackson is the reason why Justin Timberlake is a superstar for one line he said to him. Justin Timberlake wrote the song Gone and wrote it for Michael Jackson and wanted Michael Jackson to perform it. And he said no first, but then he would sing it with him if he ever went solo. Because just like the Jackson 5, NSYNC is holding you under this rock. I guarantee you'll take off. Other people's tried this when they leave the band. And a lot of times it doesn't work.
Yep.
Like I said, O-Town was short Ashley Parker Angel. He tried to go off and do his own thing. And unfortunately, it may have worked out. It may not. I don't know. A lot of people I work with didn't even know O-Town was still a thing.
Yeah.
And I slapped him right across the face.
Well, what was his one name? Remember Rob Thomas?
Yeah.
What's his band?
Matchbox 20.
Yeah, he tried to go solo one time.
Which, that's the part right there that really throws me off. When a lead singer of the band goes solo, like... Okay, when Scott Stepps stepped away from Creed...
Scott Stapp?
Whatever. Creed sucks anyway.
Stepped away or rolled away in a drunken stupor.
Yeah, when he left Creed, he came out with one song. And... I think it's called, like, The Great Divide or something like that.
Right.
Pretty good little tune. Unfortunately, I worked at Subway and heard it every day, so I eventually started hating it. However, Creed got a new lead singer and became Alter Bridge.
Yes.
Okay. If you're the lead singer and you leave the band and you claim that you have the rights to all these songs and stuff, and, like you are Creed... Shouldn't Alter Bridge say, no, we are Creed, 4-1?
Well, it's fairly evident that on that day they saw clearly, and everything came to light.
And when they opened their eyes, they realized they have something.
In a place full of broken dreams.
Yeah. Well, Nick Lachey, he didn't ever leave 98 Degrees, he just came out with a solo album.
Right.
A lot of people do that. Nick Carter did it. Brian Littrell did it. All kinds of singers do it, and then they come back. And, like, I felt so awkward because the first, like, half hour to an hour of 98 Degrees' performance, which they played for about almost 2.5 hours or something. I don't know. Anyway, but for, like, their first set, give or take, I knew nothing because I didn't know they had a new album.
Right.
When I go to a concert, I expect the classics, like... And that's another bad thing. It's like when you go see a performance, you always expect that greatest hits.
Yeah.
Rather it be, like we've talked about 100 times, rather it be music, theater, even like wrestling. You know, you always picture the greatest hits of someone. And then they throw in new stuff and you're like, I don't know.
It's like a
But then you're leaving the concert and you're singing their new song.
Yeah. It's like a John Cena match. You know, you complain about all the moves that he does, whether it's...
Five moves of Doom and the dude does a Hurricanrana.
Yeah. No, it's like the five moves of Doom. You complain about the moves that he does, but if you go see him live, you want to see the five moves of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically there.
When I went to, I think, I went to Payback, and he was not on the card. I was upset, because every other WWE live event I went to, he was there. And the crowd called the five moves of Doom.
Yeah.
And I'm actually starting to wonder if that's, you know, everything, you know, like, my world was just tore up. However, best pay-per-view I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
That Payback. It was awesome.
I'll say this, too, going back to the music thing. If you want to talk about, you know, a lead singer going solo on a band and the band not knowing what to do, if you want to see the best... attempt of that, or just see just utter hilarity, pull it up online, the Foo Fighters. This video they did a few months ago, there was all these rumors about, it was around after the Oscars, rumors about the Foo Fighters were breaking up, Dave Grohl was going solo, because Dave Grohl appeared on the Oscars by himself performing a song that played during In Memoriam. You know, they always have somebody come up for the In Memoriam segment and play a song. And Dave Grohl was up there by himself playing guitar and singing and stuff. And everybody's like, oh, our Foo Fighters breaking up. So in order to shut up the critics and make people stop, they filmed this skit online that they released on their YouTube page. Basically coming out and saying, yes, we're breaking up. But it was Dave Grohl by himself away from the band with his own new manager, and he's talking about all the success that he had at the Oscars and how much stuff he's going to have to do now that he's broken away from all those people holding him back and stuff. And then it would cut over to the rest of the Foo Fighters that are trying to audition singers for their new lead to be the new lead singer. Nick Lachey is the one that comes in and ends up winning on it, but at the end of the video it comes up in words, look, will everybody please shut the beep up about it? We're not breaking up. It was so hilarious. If you haven't seen it, pull it up. Foo Fighters Online. Oh, my God. I loved it.
The Foo Fighters, they're a great band. It's a little bit of a different genre than what I listen to.
Yeah.
I'm more of the poppy, dance, gangster rap. I love gangster rap because I have no idea what they're talking about. But as long as I can wave my hands, nod my head, and have people look at me, and I'm like, sup, dog?
Cash flows everything around me. Cream
don't shoot
get the
me.
Money.
Don't
dollar
shoot
dollar
me.
Bill, yo.
Don't sue me. I love satellite radio because I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, yeah. It was like that night at your house where we're sitting there and I think there's a card game going on and all of a sudden gangster rap comes on somebody's phone and, oh, we got it. Look at this. We got a great one here.
Yeah. One of the many times with Drunk Blake Reed that actually ended well.
Yeah, normally it's a bad deal.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, did you see what I sent him on his Facebook page the other day?
No.
Apparently there's a game called Drunkapalooza. It's a board game.
Oh, snap.
So they must be thinking of you, pal. I don't know. Boom!
that's spot on, Blake Reed. second... We'll call him our honorary scumbag, because he can't be a scumbag because we love him.
Yeah.
But he will be happy to be honorary scumbag.
Yeah, he's still waiting to actually get on the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's had plenty of opportunities. Even before I started hosting, he just, you know, started co-hosting. He said, no, I don't know, blah, 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 Darkwing Duck, boom.
Uh-huh. Boom,
beer,
Young
beer,
Bucks,
beer,
Young Bucks, Kevin Owens, Young beer, Nakamura, boom, 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 Joe, boom, beer.
Don Vito.
What do you have food on?
I want a whole episode. This might have to be an explicit content one, but I want a whole episode of Drunk Blake Reed.
No, you don't. Nobody wants an episode.
The Travis Weir Show may come out of retirement for this.
Yeah, that'd probably be the best.
Because, you know, I had one really good episode. My second episode was because I was bored, passing the time, waiting for my wife to get home so I could go to the bar. And then the third one was, I just thought it was funny to play a song about Superman having nothing on me, and it was Batman just whooping him.
I don't need civil rights groups and feminists coming after me on an episode. We don't need drunk Blake Reed on an episode.
That's it. I'm going to announce it now. The Travis Ware Show will come out of retirement for one episode, possibly two, because I'm going to need drunk Blake Reed with drunk Kenny Taylor.
Yeah, I'm going to let you handle that one. I'm going to steer clear.
I will say this, too. It will be co-hosted with Jake at the microphone, at the helm of the ship.
Maybe.
Because I may have to put some drinks down, too, to be able to keep up with these two.
Exactly. Somebody's going to have to hold the camera up.
And, you know, the big thing was, though, we talk about all these great stories of Kenny Taylor adventures and Blake Reed adventures, and when they had a house full of people to watch them play NBA Jam, they didn't even curse at each other.
No.
Now, if you're there by yourself with them...
Yeah.
I've seen a plate of food thrown.
Yeah. Dude, they went live on Facebook several weeks ago. The first ever live on Facebook battle on NBA Jam.
One time, Kenny debated wiping his butt and throwing the toilet paper at David, at Blake Reed, because how mad he was.
Oh, I'm Blake Reed. I'm just going to shoot the ball and it's going to go in, because I'm Blake Reed. I'm at the...
And then when he hit him with that Cubs pillow, I'm Blake Reed. I don't like to share the Xbox. Bam!
All because he wanted to listen to Bobby Brown.
It is one of the one song, and he couldn't stop watching wrestling tribute videos.
This man, Kenny Taylor, actually, we got here, he was in his pajamas, actually went into his bedroom and
changed
to put on regular clothes, including his White Sox jersey, I believe.
No, Cubs jersey.
Was it Cubs jersey?
Cubs jersey, sideways hat.
Yeah.
Pants on that were sagging so he could do the
simply I'm so gangster. He could listen to Bobby Brown on Our Own from Ghostbusters 2. Blake would not let him do it. He kept wanting to watch wrestling on the Xbox. So Kenny picks up a pillow and launches it.
And he KO'd him.
As hard as he could in the face. Knocks the controller out of Blake's hand.
About renders him unconscious. Like, it was almost attempted murder with a Cubs pillow.
Oh my god. That's the same night that he crawled on the back of the couch and jumped off and did an elbow drop on a lawn chair.
Yeah.
Because the lawn chair was talking smack to him all night.
If Kenny Taylor had a TV show, he would be a billionaire.
I don't know about that. He still owes me $26.
Yeah.
I brought that up to him one time. He's like, no, I specifically remember you said that you were good for it. You were drunk. How do you remember what I said? You went walking around Walmart one
with
time.
With no shoes.
Barefoot, no shoes
with
or socks.
With love and hate tattooed on your toes upside down.
And you're searching for board games.
Oh, man. Well, on a side note, we'll get back at topic now.
Yeah, we go off. That was 15 minutes worth of just rambling.
That's fun.
Why not?
A lot of people, when they listen to our shows, a lot of feedback I got is they love our topics, but they love the raw talk, too.
Yeah, why not?
And they also love how on point you are and how mad I get because I don't know something and you make me look like an idiot at times. And I swear to God, if someone messaged me the other day, like, did you ever watch True Blood? And I said, I will end you, is my response. I have not been able to find season 7 at a price I can afford. However, I was told it was recently added to Amazon Prime, so I will be watching it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I bet Josh still hasn't seen Man of Steel.
Who?
But, hey, speaking of, you know, we like to stay on topic with our comic book world, let's talk about our first, I guess, semi-breaking news.
Somewhat. Breaking news to me. It's a rumor.
Breaking rumor to me, because I just heard about it.
It's a huge rumor. It was put out by The Wrap. The casting of Zendaya on Spider-Man Homecoming, which comes out next year, everybody knew she was in it for a long time. Everybody thought she's playing this character called Michelle, which was
but see,
nothing.
This is my big problem I have. Okay, Mary Jane Watson, and this isn't a race thing.
Yes, that's the rumor. She's playing Mary Jane Watson.
Mary Jane Watson was a redhead, pale-faced, big chest, a very attractive woman.
Right.
Kirsten Dunst played her in the original Spider-Man. She fit the par on the first one. She kept it in the second, lost it in the third. By the third one, she just looked like she was chewed up bubblegum on the bottom of someone's shoe.
Wow.
She did. I mean, like, I felt like she didn't... Nobody cared about the third Spider-Man movie. That's what made it terrible. Everyone says it's because of Eddie Brock and this, that. No, nobody cared about that movie. James Franco is what kept that movie together. What kept that movie watchable.
I don't think it was necessarily just that, but it was also the fact that it was just overfilled with too much. And, you know, Sam Raimi didn't want to use Venom, but the studio interfered and Venom had to be used because they had stuff.
Fox knows what they're doing. Sony knows what they're doing.
Yeah, it was Sony at the time. It's ridiculous. It was overblown. I didn't like, you know, if you haven't seen Spider-Man 3, you've had years to watch it. Screw you. But I didn't like the fact that they tried to tie in the Sandman with the guy that killed Uncle Ben.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I couldn't stand that. That makes no sense to me. And, you know, I'll agree with you. It is not a race thing. We all know Zendaya. We all know what she...
I'm okay with them adding new characters, though.
Yeah.
And changing stories.
The beautiful thing about comic books is the fact that there's so many different ways to tell a story. In a comic book, there's straight-on stories, there's what-if tales, there's other-dimension tales, alternate stories, alternate realities, future tales, past tales. There's all kinds of stuff that's different from whatever writer happens to be writing the story. An artist is telling the story with their pictures at the time.
Because, I mean, let's face it, Tony Stark's going to be in this movie.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. Iron Man had really not a lot to do with Spider-Man becoming Spider-Man. However, they're telling a whole new story. I'm okay with it. You want to add this girl? Sure, that's fine. Am I going to be upset if she plays Mary Jane? No, I'm not. I'm going to get over it. I'm going to watch the movie.
Yeah.
However, part of me is going to be like, I don't like change.
I'm always going to be a person who believes that if you want to make a change to a character, that's fine. Just as long as it's not a change to a character that their identity is wrapped up in that core essence. Let's say if you were going to turn Black Panther into a white guy. That can't be done. This is Black Panther of Wakanda we're talking about.
Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, I saw the Ghostbusters movie. It was terrible. Not because of what everybody thinks is. The movie itself was just terrible. The plot was dumb. They caught Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas. That's what it looked like to me. And it had nothing to do... If they would have said, hey, these chicks are new Ghostbusters, I would have been okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know... But the fact that they're taking... They're doing the whole new story of they came up with this, they came up with that. At first, I was totally against it. Then I saw the movie, and I was okay with it. But the plot to the actual movie was stupid.
Yeah.
And the fact that they go so long and they're totally against the name Ghostbusters, and then they finally own it, and then, like, the government's so involved with, like, you know, we got to make this look like it was your fault. Like, okay, I could maybe see that, but you just saved the planet. I'm pretty sure you shouldn't make it look like it's your fault until the sequel.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't go to see it.
Well,
I knew everything that was happening.
I have two little girls that were dying to see it, and I'm not upset that I saw it, but there were parts of me that were not happy with it. And it's not because of everything that spectators were unhappy with. It was not a good movie.
Right.
Like, we saw Batman v Superman. I was happy I saw it. It is not a good movie.
No. No, no, it's a weird, murdery fanfic version of Batman, just like Screen Junkie says.
Yeah, I mean, it was alright, but it wasn't a great movie.
Well, when it comes to Zendaya, I got no problem with her playing Mary Jane. I think she's okay in some of the stuff, and she can pull off the model
look. Oh, yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she can pull off that Hollywood runway model type that Mary Jane was always supposed to. She was supposed to be the way for Peter to get over of Gwen Stacy and Gwen's death. And that's why I loved the aspect of when Mary Jane was first introduced in the comics. You never saw her face. they always kind of hinted at it because Mary Jane was the niece, I believe, of Aunt May's next door neighbor.
Yep.
And they always wanted to get her and Peter together, but they kept name dropping her and stuff like that. But when she finally came into the books, you didn't see her face until that like last page in the panel where it opens up. They would always obscure her face. They would put something in front of it. You'd see red hair, or you'd just see a body. And
yeah,
the head
I remember one.
Off.
She was reading a book. There was one. It was like a over the shoulder as she's walking away. But
she says that classic line at the end: "Face it, Tiger. You just hit the jackpot."
Yeah. And with that, though, being said, you know, in the Spider-Man movies, they were neighbors and had nothing to do with Aunt May and her aunt being friends. She had an abusive dad.
Yeah, that might have been in the comics somewhere. I might have to go back and look.
I mean, but see, that little part, that little twist in the story, man, I believe it. Beautiful girl in New York, father telling her, you know, she's got nothing to live for because he's struggling to make ends meet. He's an alcoholic.
Right.
Okay, I can see that. Life's rough. You know, every 16-year-old kid thinks their world's falling apart. I was one.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, changing a whole new character, not bad. However, I'm gonna say this. I hope if they change this, you know, if they change, make her Mary Jane, I hope they change more than just that. I hope they change the whole story about Mary Jane.
What do you mean?
Like, introduce her in a new way. I'm okay with that. Like, Peter Parker was presented to us in a new way with Civil War. He was, you know, we know the backstory of Uncle Ben. Doesn't need to be told.
Right.
Tony Stark finds him, and he's got semi, like, basically a tracksuit he's running around in. And then he takes off. And the new awesome, like, that's another thing, too, they could have butchered. Like, he could have had an Iron Man, Spider-Man looking outfit. Thank
God he
did.
He was supposed to. It's the Iron Spider costume.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that.
Yeah, it would have made more sense if they wait, which they are. But the Iron Spider outfit is awesome.
Yeah, but I'm still not ready for it.
And Amadeus Cho wore it for a long time, I believe.
But I will be going to see Spider-Man Homecoming when it comes out. I am so excited because Spider-Man is my favorite Marvel superhero.
Right.
And, like, everything about Spider-Man, I always loved. The fact that Spider-Man introduced me to the Punisher and Daredevil, and I love both of those.
Yeah, and Spider-Man being in the MCU now, Daredevil on Netflix, if we don't have them doing a crossover.
And what better way to lead into our second topic at hand, our summer's best and worst film and TV series. I'm going to go with announcing my TV series first, Daredevil Season 2.
Oh, you're going Daredevil Season 2?
My favorite show of the summer. Bear with me, because I do not have regular television. I only have Netflix and Hulu. And I do not stay up on the Hulu as much. But Daredevil, by far, Season 2, awesome. He introduced the Punisher, a few other new characters. Like, everything just about it was so good. But I got to give an honorable mention to The Ranch came in second place.
I never watched that.
It's great.
I didn't get a chance to see that yet. My mother wants to see that because she's a huge Sam Elliott fan.
So great.
All right, so you're choosing Daredevil Season 2 as your best show of summer 2016 so far.
Yes.
All right. I will differ with you on this.
Only because Superstore came out in the spring.
Okay.
Or maybe it was still winter.
I don't know. I haven't seen Superstore. But here's where we're going to differ on this. Because my favorite show of summer 2016 is one you haven't seen yet. And I can't get enough of it. And I want more of it. And I've been visiting the fan theory websites and the Reddit theory boards and everything. Stranger Things.
Yeah, I still haven't seen this.
Stranger Things is my favorite TV show. I don't even know of just the summer of the entire year so far.
I know a lot of people gave really good reviews on this.
Oh my God, man. This thing, I keep telling people that who haven't seen it and trying to explain to them. I would say if you were to set up a blender, take a piece of The Goonies, a piece of Stand By Me, a piece of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, a piece of Silent Hill, and a piece of Nightmare on Elm Street. Put it in the blender, combine it all together, you would get Stranger Things out of that.
Okay.
It's so good. It's set in a small fictional town, I believe, of Hawkins, Indiana, in 1983. It's only 8 episodes long. It deals with these 3 boys who are searching for their friend Will, who's kidnapped. I'm not going to say exactly by what for people who haven't seen it. If you have seen it, don't ruin it for others. I'm just telling you right now, there's a perfect amount of jump scares in it. It's scary in some places. It's heartwarming. It tells a phenomenal story.
That sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
I have to watch True Blood. If it's on my Amazon Prime, I have to watch True Blood first.
That would be fine.
But then I will watch this.
And I'm telling you, you will absolutely lose it. You will love this thing. And I know you and jump scares.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I say bad words. I don't say bad words. I scream bad words.
Yeah, he almost punched me one time.
And we both pretty much agreed on our pick for the movie was Captain America 3 Civil War.
Yeah, we're going to go with Captain America, the best blockbuster of the summer.
And I know some people are thinking, well, it came out in May. Well, to me, May's the summer.
Well, yeah, May is the start of the summer movie season.
Yeah, May to August is that. And that was the best movie I saw this summer.
Yeah. And there's a lot of movies that came out this summer.
Yeah. There's also, you could even put some movies on there with being released on DVD at the time. Like, I know it came out in theaters in the winter, but I'll give an honorable mention to the best DVD to come out this summer. Are you ready for this?
What's up?
Zootopia.
Zootopia?
I will let you borrow this, sir. It is amazing.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Love it.
I'll tell you a movie I haven't seen that came out this summer. It was a smaller film, Swiss Army Man.
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
Yeah, it's Daniel Radcliffe.
We were just talking movies with a friend of ours at the IGA, and I just recently actually bought, it's a new movie to me, older movie, but I just bought Inglourious Basterds, and I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when I go to my video store that I like to shop at, there's a lot of movies that are like $1 or $2. Sometimes I'm like, I'll pick it up. I've been wanting to see it. It's only $1. Well, after hearing our friend down at the IGA talk about it, Jason, I'm going to watch this. That's all I can say. Thank you. I mean, like I said, I don't have cable, so every now and then I just grab cheap movies. I have a decent-sized stack I haven't seen because Netflix doesn't have everything. But I'm going to watch this probably tonight when my wife gets home.
Right. Yeah, Inglourious Basterds is pretty good. In that conversation, I got to thinking of a new topic that we could talk about at some point in a future episode. I think we're going to start doing episodes devoted to certain actors and actresses, and we're going to rank their best and worst movies in our eyes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
This sparked the conversation we had at the IGA about Brad Pitt.
Exactly. It was like, what's Brad Pitt's best movie as opposed to what his worst performance is, or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be coming. That's going to be a good one. I like that. We got a couple more things to talk about real quick before we move into our main topic. One I just want to touch on really quickly because of how much I geeked out massively over this, and that's the fact that Adam West and Burt Ward are back.
Excuse me. The dynamic duo returns to the screen in an animated classic. I don't know if the actual title's been released. Has it, Jake?
Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders. The trailer is out. There's 2 trailers. One was an announcement of the Batman movie that's coming out, and it's animated, like we said. The other one is actually a trailer of the film itself, and it's Adam West, Burt Ward, and Julie Newmar returning to the role of Catwoman.
This would be pretty special. Especially with this past holiday season, the Batman, the original TV series came out on DVD this past Christmas.
Yeah, I got season 3, I believe.
I got my mom the entire set. She doesn't let me borrow it.
Yeah, the entire set had beautiful box art on it.
Yeah, well, see, I didn't get that one. I just bought it as a set from Amazon. Saved some money, but, like, I didn't spend I think it was, like, $100 for the actual box set. But it still looked like... I remember watching the Batman movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is far-fetched. But it was fun.
Bat shark repellent.
Yeah.
Or Batman running around with that bomb over his head trying to find a place to throw it. And he can't because everywhere he goes there's something there that could cause harm.
Yeah. But it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was that movie was done after the first season. Back in the 60s, man, it was Batmania. My mother still tells a story of how she went... she was younger. She went to go see Burt Ward make an appearance at the local shopping center in his Robin costume, signing autographs and doing everything like that. And it was awesome. When I was a kid, I got to sit in the George Barris Batmobile and take a picture. The black one with the red stripes all over it and the red Bat logo and outlined in white. And it's awesome, man. I love that car.
Oh, and, yeah.
And
I saw that car at the Meadow Shopping Center.
Yeah, I think that's actually where I took the picture at. When I was a little kid, they let you get in the car and take the picture, and you're tempted to touch the buttons because you want to see if it starts the Batmobile up and takes you to the Batcave and everything. It was awesome, man.
When I was a kid, we weren't trusted to do stuff like that because we didn't know how to act in public.
Right. Well, I think that was the same time when they brought the Ecto-1 around, and people could take pictures with it. That was pretty cool, and anybody who knows me knows how much of a... Here's a wrestling term. They know how much of a mark I am for the 60s TV series. And it's not saying that Batman now is too dark or anything, and I can't stand it. Everything has their place.
Yes.
And the 60s TV series, although it was very campy and it's not truly what Batman would be, I always have an argument with my mother trying to explain to her that if a young boy sees his family gunned down in front of him by a brutal killer, he's not going to grow up to be Adam West. But it was so fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
You get the awesome theme, the da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And every time when they're doing the fights and you're punching somebody, biff, pow, zap.
It made it fun. It brought the comic book to life.
Yeah. You had the amazing things.
And like, don't get me wrong, Bob Kane, the creator of Batman, there before that show, there was a couple black and white series of Batman.
Yeah, there were serials that you could go in on a Saturday afternoon and watch for like 15, 20 minutes.
And I have one of the, it's like Batman and the Masked Phantom.
Mask of the Phantasm.
No, not the cartoon. This one was just a TV series.
Oh, okay.
It's a Batman and Robin. It's, I don't know, probably got like 10-minute episodes.
Yeah, and
there's about like probably 15 episodes on this tape.
But yeah, like, that was the best thing about movie serials back in the day. You didn't have cable TV. You didn't have a lot of local channels with a bunch of stuff. They would bring people in to the movies every weekend, and they would tell you, you can see the next installment of this series when you come next weekend, and we'll air it 15 minutes before the actual movie. And people would go to these movie theaters and pay full price to go see the movie, but then they'd leave after the Batman serial because they don't care about the movie. And that was the theaters trying to do a marketing trick to say, come watch our film and we'll show you this.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. And I can't wait for it. I hope they do another one, because they said this one's going to feature Riddler, Joker, Penguin, and Catwoman with Julie Newmar. And it's not Cesar Romero. Cesar Romero tragically has passed, so he can't be the Joker. It's not Frank Gorshin, so he can't be the voice of the Riddler.
Come on, let's just get Mark Hamill to do it.
Mark Hamill, Joker. That'd be interesting.
Be like a Clash of the Worlds.
Yeah. But if this is a success, and if you love Lego Batman, you're going to love this Batman from what I saw in the trailer. The closest Lego Batman can come to is the 60s TV series.
And, oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
And Lego Batman's fun. Speaking of Lego Batman, we got a new thing that we've been doing on the show, our featured game classic. And our topic today is actually a really good one to have this game as our featured game.
Our main event today is...
yeah, main event, as you would say.
Yeah.
But our featured classic game is Rampage World Tour.
Yeah!
It was released in 1997 on the arcade system, as well as PlayStation 1, Sega Saturn, N64, Game Boy Color, PC, PlayStation 2, and the GameCube. And I vaguely remember this game.
Oh, yeah.
But boy, it was fun.
Well, you're playing...
I remember the arcade machine that played at Galaxy.
Yeah. Well, you get to play as an oversized... I think it's like a Godzilla-type creature or a King Kong-type creature.
Yeah, I
or
remember...
a werewolf.
I remember playing it because I always called the monkey Donkey Kong. My dad's like, sure.
Yeah. I used to play it... I think I played the arcade version once or twice, but I mainly played it when I went and stayed at my buddy Corey's house and he had it on his PlayStation 1.
I went to Blockbuster one time... back when they used to rent Super Nintendo games.
Right.
And, like, I remember I thought that was the game because I just saw animals and fighting, and I actually got Primal Rage.
Oh, yeah, I love Primal Rage.
We'll give a special shout-out to that game. It was fun. Kind of dumb, but it was fun.
So?
I was the dinosaur, and all I could do is tail whip.
That's right.
But... you could play as either George, a gigantic gorilla creature, Lizzie, a Godzilla-like dinosaur lizard creature, and Ralph, a giant werewolf. All three originally started out as a human.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they got into Chemical X.
Probably something like that.
Thus became the Powerpuff Girls.
Sugar, spice, add everything nice.
Sounds like a bad...
You ever hear the cartoon conspiracy theory that the Powerpuff Girls, the scientists on it, grew up to be Samurai Jack?
Well, yeah, because they look alike.
Yeah, plus there's a lot of similarities between where Samurai Jack's from, and you see some of the same billboards in Powerpuff Girls. So, like, something happens, and there's a post-apocalyptic wasteland, and the that's another story. We already did cartoon conspiracies on this show.
The object of the game is to destroy the buildings while avoid destroying the army forces sent out to stop you.
Exactly. So you're giant monsters destroying stuff.
But you're still trying not to hurt anybody. That's cute.
Mm-hmm.
The original Rampage and World Tour are both featured as bonus games in the 2006 Wii game Rampage Total Destruction.
Yeah.
I remember playing the one for the Wii when I worked at the video store, and... I did not like it. However, the only, like, fighting game I liked on the Wii was Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And that's for its own reasons. Oh, and Punch-Out. But, I mean, how can you not like Punch-Out?
It's been a long time since I played Punch-Out.
Yeah, I'll have to get it for the Wii. But I might buy a Wii for that game.
I have a Wii.
Wii!
Hee!
But... I suggest if you have a vintage video store, who knows, maybe eventually a on-demand digital download, search for this game, Rampage World Tour.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's dumb fun. It's not like you have such an intricate story and you have to go through beat for beat. You just unlock cities and destroy buildings.
What? Yeah, so you ever get mad when it breaks stuff?
Yeah.
Put Limp Bizkit on the background, play this game.
Exactly. And that's when you're playing giant monsters, that's really all you want to do. That's not what you want to do in a Zack Snyder Superman film, but that's what you want to do in these.
Yeah. And thus far, our featured contest.
What are you doing?
I was trying to do you, but I'm laughing.
Do you, buddy, do you.
Our main topic we're here to talk about today is our best movie monsters. It's like a monster mash, but it's not Halloween time.
Yeah.
I enjoy a good monster in a movie. We talked about things that somewhat made our list and things that did special shots, some monsters that didn't make our list. The Thing.
Which version?
I don't know. I only know the
1950s,
one
the Kurt Russell, or the remake they did.
I just know the Kurt Russell one.
They remade one with Kate Beckinsale back in 2011. It wasn't very good.
I didn't know that happened.
Kurt Russell one was 1981, I believe, or 82, and it was a John Carpenter movie.
And then wasn't there one called The Abyss?
Yeah, but I don't know if you call that monsters. That was more aliens.
Okay, well, Alien.
Somewhat.
Yeah,
maybe,
somewhat
yeah.
a monster. But we're going to talk about today, a few episodes back, you heard us talk about... That's right. You heard our review on Godzilla. We are featuring the first one on our list, Godzilla. Godzilla was created in 1954 and holds the distinction of being the longest-running movie franchise by Guinness World Records. Is that Guinness or Guinness? I can't read.
Buddy, that's Guinness World Records.
Oh, I'm an idiot. I can't read. I live under a rock. I have no friends. Don't you know I tell people to piss off on Facebook? I really don't. I've opened up my life. He has been portrayed at many different heights. Most recent in the 2016 Toho reboot of being...
Toho.
See, I can't read.
Froyo.
Toho reboot. Of being 387 feet, the tallest he's ever been.
Yep.
Now, let's face it. Godzilla's had its ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I had a few of the tapes growing up. I had a lot of the action figures. Because, I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't care which action figure we had as long as we had toys.
I need a Godzilla action figure, man. If anybody out there hears this and they want to send me a Godzilla action figure, my birthday's in December, but I always love early gifts.
My favorite was the two-headed gold guy.
Ghidorah? Three-head.
Well, mine had two.
That's what you get for shopping for Christmas at a discount store.
I would make my own Power Rangers.
Right.
Because I had them. But, like, let's face it, the action figures really, like, my action figures didn't have a long lifespan because I beat the hell out of them.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, okay, I would have, like, my Red Ranger, even though he was a flip head, very rarely did he ever take the helmet off because when he wasn't in Ranger form, I would have just, like, a average Joe-looking action figure to be my main guy. And then he would morph.
Did he have a gym?
No.
No average Joe's gym?
No.
Aww. Car.
But he knew how to duck. He knew how to dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
The 3D, or the 5Ds when it comes to dodgeball.
However, he would then morph into, say, the Red... We'll just say the Red Ranger, because that's on my mind. And then, just as the Red Rangers beat... I always would make up a story where he would, like, something and morph into, like, I had other action figures that I would pretend to be, like, I had I had a Silver Surfer figure. At the time, I didn't know what Silver Surfer was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the White Ranger would turn into, like, I always said, oh, you know, the White Ranger's beat, he's out. All of a sudden, he morphs into a stronger Ranger. And then, like, I was done playing with my White Ranger for a long time. Or, like, if it broke, I substituted. Like, he was no longer the White Ranger. He was the Silver Ranger.
Right.
Or, like, when a new figure would come out, it would be like, bam, here you go. But this Godzilla creature was always my big bad guy that would always tear apart. Like, every time he came around... The only time I used this guy was when one of my figures broke, because it would be the... And then finally, when I was playing with it, and, like, it... This sounds like utter garbage, but in my mind it was amazing. But there was one time I was playing with it, and I had just got the... Ninjetti figures?
Yeah.
I got them for Christmas. And then I remember the Zeo Rangers came out, and I only had one Zeo Ranger, and that was the red one. Because I always had the Red Ranger. I don't know why.
She had Tommy.
Well, the Red's my favorite color.
Yeah.
Anyway, And I remember it was like this. I don't know. I didn't even watch because we didn't have TV at the time. But I was always like the star. Something about, I always call it the Star Child. I don't know why. Maybe it was a Kiss reference. I don't know.
Probably.
But I was playing with it, and the head broke off. There was only one left. So there for a while, I didn't play with it. But I was just like, the Red Ranger. You know, this Red Ranger is the most powerful Ranger ever. So anytime I played, this Red Ranger had to defeat, you know, the bad guys, and I would have. I ended up getting the Godzilla from the animated series figure. Like, he was only the size of maybe, like, a 20-ounce bottle.
Oh, the Zilla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's lean, he's mean, he's a fighting machine.
He's not Godzilla.
Anyway, playing with it, and Red Ranger's arm breaks. So I'm like, oh, this has to be my new bad guy. So, as I'm playing with my now one-headed Godzilla guy... I already forgot his name. But
Ghidorah.
I'm sitting there playing with them, and I feel it like it's going to happen. So, of course, the new Zilla has to destroy that one, chuck it in the trash because I was stupid and didn't know what to do with it.
You had the TriStar Zilla defeat Ghidorah?
Mm-hmm. Ow. Uncalled for.
You deserved it.
Anyway, and then I got... Star Wars Episode 1 came out that time, and, like, I had a few of the planes that maybe lasted a day, and this Zilla's just destroying them, breaking them up, and I'm just like, oh, what could happen? And then I got the WCW Vibrating Wrestlers come out. You remember those?
Yeah.
First one I got was the Giant. And the Giant...
You had a Vibrating Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Giant... is what broke the head off of that Zilla.
Oh, my God.
So, Paul White, the Big Show, the Giant, whatever you want to call him, beats Godzilla.
All thanks goes out to Captain Insano.
Yes. But, like, everyone's like, why is he talking about this? This has nothing to do with monsters. It was my childhood. It was fun.
Right.
It's going to get more talked about later.
Oh, dude, we always had crazy childhoods where... I believe that if you're a kid, you hate yourself
if
now.
If I still had these toys, I would still be playing this.
You hate yourself now for knowing that we broke a lot of action figures back then. Because now, keep it in the box! You lose the value if you take it out of the box!
Oh, screw that. Depending on what toy it is, if I buy it, it's coming out of the box.
Yeah.
Like, if I got two Ecto-1s, one's coming out of the box.
Yeah. But we always did that, man. I remember one time I had the big WWF monster ring, and I would have my Undertaker, which was the 98 Undertaker at the time, needed someone to feud with, and I thought, who better to feud with Undertaker in a creepy-type storyline than the Violator from Spawn?
Exactly.
The Spawn movie, you know, when he turns into the monster-type
uh-huh.
thing. And that was cool, because the Violator was kind of similar to, like, a rip-off of Pumpkinhead, but not at the same time. Todd McFarlane created him. But it's like he had the long arms and the claws and stuff, and it's like, this is Undertaker fighting this monster. This would be an awesome story. It was okay.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, when I found, like, like I said, I didn't really know much, but when I found out, before I found out what Kiss was, they were just Sting's tag team partners.
The Knights in Satan's Service.
I guess if that's what you
K-I-S-S, Knights in Satan's Service. That's what they were called back in the 70s.
I always thought it was for Keep It Simple, Stupid.
Well, that's a different... That's the phrase.
Oh. That's how much I care about that.
Okay.
But anyway, like, I mean, I remember having... I had Paul Stanley, and he was a Star Child. So, his move had to be the Shooting Star Press. I had Gene Simmons, who... His arm... Like, one arm stayed straight. I don't know why. So, his move was, I believe it was the choke slam.
Remember, he always had the arm that would hold the sword
yeah.
and spray the fire.
And my Peter Chris, he had weird legs that always would pop out, so his move was the leg drop.
The Catman.
Uh-huh. And then I had Ace Frehley and...
Spaceman.
He was my jobber.
Ace Frehley was your jobber.
Yeah. But he was the one that took the WCW title from Sting.
Yeah. You never had Eric Carr or Vinnie Vincent or...
Nope.
None of them?
But I remember my uncle slapped me when he saw I was destroying Kiss dolls and my parents were buying me new ones, even though they were not the original. They were the 90s, like, revamp ones.
Yeah.
But I had Spawn figures that were wrestlers. Martin Sheen's character from Spawn. I had the action figure, and he was my Vince McMahon.
Right. I used to take VHS tapes that I didn't want anymore and use them as steel chairs.
That was I used to build sets out of it. Like I was sick as a child.
When we were kids, people kept thinking we're going to grow up to become these big contractors and construction workers.
He could be a doctor, or at least an ambulance driver.
I used to have Jean-Luc Picard as my commentary, lead commentary.
He was my Mean Gene because he was bald.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea who he was when I had him.
Oh my gosh. And then I started buying actual wrestling figures at yard sales, and I'm like, all right, I don't need to use these other guys because I got actual
figures. Oh no, I still did. Like, when the X-Men movie came out, I bought Sabretooth just because he looked like a better Test.
Right.
And he was Test, not Sabretooth.
Okay. Let's go back to the monsters.
Yes. The second on our list, and actually, next year debuts a new movie. This will be a fun one here to talk about. King Kong, originally created... Yep. Just peed a little.
That's right.
Originally created in 1933 with other films released in 1976 and 2005, soon to be 2017. He is said to be the tallest he's ever seen in the new film.
Oh, yeah.
And if the stars align, the reason why we have entered these two this way, if the stars align, we could see Godzilla versus King Kong.
Oh, there is no if the stars align. It's already announced.
Well, I live under a freaking rock.
Yeah.
You follow me on Twitter at Big Stupid Elbow, and you'll realize I don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. It's already announced, dude. Legendary Pictures owns both franchises now, so this is a thing that's happening.
I had a Godzilla, like, not stuffed animal, but like it was a big, hard plastic. Like, you could say stuffed animal, but statue. There we go. And he was like my Zordon, because he didn't move, but he was still awesome. You wanted to have him.
Godzilla?
No. I mean,
you just
I'm sorry.
Said Godzilla.
I'm sorry, King Kong. I had a Kong. That was like my Zordon guy.
Yeah, Godzilla is more like your Zord.
No, he's my bad guy.
He's your Dragon Zord.
Yeah, well, see, I should have thought. I always wanted the... Not meaning to get off topic again, but I always wanted the big Lord Zed dragon. Never got it.
Serpentera?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome in the first one, but then sucked when they did the Forever Red thing.
Yeah. But the King Kong, like, my grandfather will say it a million times. He loves King Kong and he hates Jack Black.
I didn't think there was something wrong with that movie.
I didn't either. But he hates Jack Black in that movie. He's a funny fart in your this and say the F word and do this and do that. And the only movie my grandpa ever found him funny in was School of Rock.
Right.
And Saving Silverman. My grandpa loved that movie up until the end when he's like, I'm gay. Oh, me too. He doesn't accept the fact it's 2016. It's perfectly acceptable,
yeah.
Even though it was made in the early 2000s. But,
come on, man. High Fidelity. Like, he was great in High Fidelity. It's one of my favorite movies.
To him, Jack Black would be a monster.
Yeah. Go watch Bernie. That is a great film. Richard Linklater.
I have not seen that, but it is on my queue to watch.
It's a real good film.
I watched one called The Big Year with him. It was really good. About bird watching. I learned a lot.
Yeah, him and Steve Martin.
Yeah. But King Kong, the newest one, what's the title of it again?
Kong Skull Island.
I always want to say something with Crystal Skull, and I know that's Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kong Skull Island does look amazing. I'm pumped up, can't wait to see it.
Well, this is the interesting thing. They announced that Godzilla and King Kong is happening, and it's already happened once before, as everybody knows. You got the infamous tree incident where King Kong actually pulls a tree out of the ground and shoves it down Godzilla's throat. But my question is, and it's the question that is on everybody's mind, how exactly are you going to have the two of them fight? Because, yes, this is the biggest King Kong that we've ever had on film, But he still is not as big as Godzilla in the new Godzilla movies. I mean, the American one, the Gareth Edwards done one, because in that one, Godzilla is a beast. And King Kong is still going to be punching up at him.
Yeah.
So what exactly is it that
they're
going
to do? Well, every rose has its thorn, every night has its dawn, and every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Bill and Ted.
What is the meaning of life? Every rose has a thorn. Don't I know you? No.
But so many good things, too, are coming. And
the 19, say, the stop-motion animation Godzilla, or King Kong, so you got me doing it, was a really good film.
Could you imagine if they were to produce a King Kong movie at the time when you had Marilyn Monroe playing the woman part? I mean, Marilyn Monroe is, let's face it, she was put out to be the most beautiful woman ever. She had curves that were amazing.
She had Kennedys.
She had Kennedys. But see, like, okay, everyone's stature on this on women are like, oh, it's gotta be this, you gotta be skinny. Like, she was a big girl. Her thighs touched when she walked.
She was somewhat of a big girl.
She had semi-best breasts. But she was gorgeous all over. She knew it, she flawed it, and that's what made her sexy.
Oh, yeah.
That's why, like...
Plus that picture of her on the grate.
Well, yeah. But, like, you know, I watched the movie about her, Norma Jean and Marilyn, I think it was. No, yeah. And they talk about all this weird stuff
about... Norma Jean's her real name.
Yeah. All this weird stuff about her, and I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But then I'm like...
That's when you listen to that Elton John song. Goodbye, Norma Jean, though I never knew you at all. He's singing about her.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to see Ashley Judd Topless, so that was okay.
In one of the movies.
But, like, could you imagine if you had her play the woman on King Kong? Like, that would have been a huge blockbuster. Instead, she sung Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
And do you think she set up for what became the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton scandal?
Because JFK.
Yeah, she did with JFK. Because, you know, he was a Democrat, and so was Clinton.
It was just one
of those. Let's face it, Democrats like a woman to go down on them.
Wow.
Does that make me a Democrat? I don't know.
I don't talk
politics. That's where I'm going at. I live under a rock. Speaking of which, you like politics.
Sometimes.
I know we say we're going to stay out of politics, but there's one thing I got to cover real quick.
Okay.
We're talking about monsters. Both these people running are monsters. Do you believe that... I believe this. Do you believe me? This presidential election is going to be voted on who we don't want in the White House, not who should be there.
Basically, yeah. It's going to be... This is the presidential election for America, for all those Australian listeners out there, but it's going to be the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it is... You got Hillary, who...
It's Hillary.
She'll just have to work. And then you got the man who helps you realize the greatest thing the devil ever did was make you people believe he didn't exist.
I don't know. It'd be an interesting time.
Yeah.
But
yes, I watched the Rachel Maddow show. I got no problem.
But, getting back to our monsters, this right here is a pretty good one right there because, you know, who knows, this could actually happen. One day. It was created in 2008 by director J.J.
Abrams.
It's the origin speculated, but nothing confirmed. The Cloverfield Monster. Every time.
Yep.
Some say it's an alien. Others believe it was asleep at the bottom of the ocean when a crashing satellite from space hit the ocean floor and woke it up. The creature is said to be 25 stories tall, or roughly 240 to 300 feet. It's smaller Oh, it has smaller prehistoric monsters which fall off its body.
Yep, parasitic and monsters.
This actually was one of those movies that was shot from the first-person view, similar to a Hardcore Henry, except it was through a camera, not through the eyes.
Found footage.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Found footage.
Yes.
I enjoyed this film. A few times it made my stomach turn because of the shakiness of the camera, but I very much enjoyed it. It was better than it should have been. But like, you really didn't see the monster until the end.
You saw it in quick glimpses from when the camera's going around. The first.
And I still haven't seen Cloverfield Lane.
Really, it has nothing to do with this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's more of an original story. The only, you know, I'll even tell you, it's not really giving anything away. The only connecting point to it is the fact that John Goodman's character worked for the... this is a spoiler if you haven't seen it, but there you go, there's your warning. John Goodman's character worked for the company that produced the satellite that fell out of the sky in the first movie. At the very end, after the monster comes down at the camera, which I can never watch because it gets me every time, when they're in Coney Island and they're filming while they're on the Ferris wheel and the camera's shooting the ocean, and if you look very small, you see something fall out of the sky and hit the water. That was a satellite. John Goodman's character in 10 Cloverfield Lane worked for the company that put that satellite in space. That's the only connecting point to this, to 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I hate you.
I'm sorry. Hate the people who made the movie. It's still a good movie. Don't get me wrong. It's a really good movie.
Okay. Well, our next monster here...
Oh, we're not going to cover the Cloverfield monster anymore?
No, I'm done.
I'll say this. It's a good design for the monster. I'm still irritated that it's 8 years later and we don't really have any idea about it or anything else. But J.J. Abrams, give him credit, and Matt Reeves, the director, they've been busy. You know? One of them was bringing back both Star Trek and Star Wars. The other one was getting busy with the Planet of the Apes franchise.
Yeah.
And he's still working on the third movie coming in.
I'm just at a loss for words. That's why I wanted to see that movie so bad.
I'm just saying, though, you can still watch the movie. It's a good movie, and there is something in it.
I'm just saying, if I go poop in the bathroom and it's so good I don't have to wipe, it feels good, but it's still poop.
Oh my gosh.
Our next monster making the list was created in 1965. It's called the Gamera. Gamera, a giant turtle creature who came to breathe fire, walk on two legs, and fly. Turtle that can fly, I don't know how much I liked that.
Well, it spins around like a buzzsaw.
Huh. Thank you, Japanese.
Uh-huh.
He was created as a means of...
Now, wait a minute. What's his name?
The Gamera?
There you go.
That one was kind of like a dead firework compared to the other ones.
Sort of, yeah.
But, I lost my train of thought. He stands... Oh, excuse me. Big yawn. He stands around 60 to 80 meters tall, or roughly 196 to 262 feet. He's known as the friend to all children. Well, guess what? So is Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
However... You showed me the trailer.
In a different way.
Yeah, you showed me the trailer to this, and it does look like something I would watch. However, if it had subtitles, I'd read it.
Gamera was created to be a opposite of Godzilla. Okay. Like, the two have never fought before, but they've been around for years. I mean, when did you say Gamera was created, what year?
1965.
Yeah, that was about 10 or 11 years after Godzilla. And he's been in a number of movies.
Yeah, 11 years.
He's a friend of children, not like Freddy Krueger, like you keep putting across. I got some gingerbread for you.
I'm sure he says, "Hey, kid, smell this rag."
Hey, does this smell like chloroform to you? Hi, that's called breaking the ice. I have a theory about Gamera. Because he's a giant turtle, I like to say that he's at war with Pennywise the Clown, who we finally saw a new image of.
Yeah, breaking news right there, too. Like, the original Pennywise did not scare me. He looked like Bozo the Clown.
Oh, dude, he scared me. It's Tim freaking Curry. You show that man respect.
I'm not saying he wasn't good. I'm just saying the actual presence of the clown from It didn't scare me. Now, when I started watching the movie, I peed.
Yes. Tim Curry helped showcase to me that anything could happen on Halloween. A dog could turn into a cat.
Yeah. He went from Pennywise the Clown to a sweet transvestite in Rocky Horror.
Well, Rocky Horror was before Pennywise.
Well, then he went from a sweet transvestite to a clown. And I'm okay with it. And then he was Long John Silver.
Yeah.
In The Muppets, Treasure Island.
Exactly.
My favorite Muppets movie.
Dude, he's been in so many. Tim Curry, I will sit down and watch an entire film fest of Tim
Curry. I've
only
seen one of his movies I didn't like, and that was The Addams Family Reunion.
Yeah, but
he played Gomez.
Yeah, but he was also awesome as the butler in Clue.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I learned so much. Like, I hated that game growing up.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing the movie, it's one of my favorite board games.
Yeah, and he ran the hotel for trying to kick out Kevin McAllister in Home Alone 2.
What kind of idiots do this? The finest in New York.
I love you, sir. So hammy. I love him. All right, I know our next monster you really like.
Man, yeah. I can't stop yawning. I mean, I don't know why I'm yawning. I'm not tired. I got plenty of sleep. And after reading about all these monsters, I'm probably going to be scared to go to sleep because I'm a weenie.
But this monster, you specifically requested to be on there.
Yes. It was created in 1984. Stands exactly 112.5 feet tall. And is a model shop supervisor.
What's his name?
His initial appearance is all due to Ray Stantz being stupid.
Yep.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Mother Hush Bucket.
Stay Puft. Oh man, like, so many good things. He looks so gentle and just walking through there, just destroying stuff.
Just destroying, yeah, he's got
like,
that.
La la la, la la la, building. La la la, la la la, car.
No one steps in a church in my town!
So good.
Yeah, thought of it because he used to roast him over the fire at Camp Wakanda. I mean, come on, man. It's Stay Puft. He became a. He became a, how do I want to say this? What are those things at high school? They join the cheerleaders.
Mascot?
That's it! He became a mascot for Ghostbusters, if you think about it. You can't think of Mr. Stay Puft without
Stay Puft is just as important as Slimer and the Ghostbuster symbol and the Echo 1.
Oh, yeah. And another reason why, wow, they got rid of Stay... Spoiler alert once again for the new Ghostbusters.
He was a damn balloon!
Yeah! He was a balloon that's like one of those Macy's Thanksgiving balloons.
Sorry, I usually don't take that kind of language. He was a balloon.
Yeah. Like I said, it's like a Macy's Thanksgiving Day balloon.
I am upset about it.
It was absolutely ridiculous. It's just another one of those cameos you want to throw in. You had the awesome fight with him in the Ghostbusters 2009 video game that came out. When they got...
That will always be the third movie.
Yeah. It's going to have to now. But when you got the rookie hanging off the side of the building and Stay Puft is climbing up at you and you're just shooting boson darts at him and everything, that was awesome.
That game was hard, but it was fun.
You thought it was hard?
It can get hard.
Maybe at some points, yeah.
I mean, it's not the repetitiveness, but like the switching back and forth, and there was some hard stuff to it.
Right. Yeah, there's some hard stuff, but I
love it. It actually is one thing that turned me on to third person view video games.
Right.
Because before that, I was only about the first person.
Stay Puft will always be a legend. There's even legitimately now Stay Puft marshmallows.
Yeah.
You can buy them.
I had some, remember?
Yeah.
Last time we had a big get together over here, and, well, it was Stay Puft and Slime. Like, they had Stay Puft and the Key Lime ones. They were disgusting.
Yeah.
But I was drunk and I kept eating them. I don't know why.
Yeah, they were there. Stay Puft will be a classic icon of 1980s cinema. There was even this one point, I'll always remember it. These people used to do a live Ghostbusters stage show, and it was like the movie would be playing on a screen in the background, but there are actors in Ghostbuster suits with the packs and everything running around stage, reenacting everything that's happening on the screen. And when it got to the big fight with Stay Puft, they blew up a giant version of Stay Puft on the stage, and the actors had to stand in front of it and act like they were fighting him.
I want, you know those Christmas decorations that are inflatable? I want a Stay Puft.
Like I would love an inflatable Stay Puft. Hint, hint to anybody out there.
Yeah.
Get a hold of us.
Buy me stuff and give it to me.
That'd be amazing.
And then, of course, topping out our list is, I don't know how to actually say this one, so it was created in 1990. These monsters moved through the ground, finding their prey through vibrations. When fully grown, they're around 30 feet long and 6 feet wide. They start out as shriekers, then mutate to ass blasters before they take the fully growth form of
Graboids.
That's right. Kevin Bacon taught us to cut loose, foot loose, how to get stabbed in a bed on Friday the 13th, and taught us about the monsters on Tremors.
Oh, yeah, and he also taught us what his ideal pitch for a woman in 1990 is. Yeah. You will have long blonde hair, world-class breasts, butt that won't quit, and legs that go all the way up.
Kevin Bacon is the man.
Kevin Bacon might play Freddy Krueger in a remake. I want this to happen.
I know, right? Kevin Bacon, like, I recently listened to the Howard Stern show, and it was a Blast from the Past episode with Kevin Bacon, and like, he's very successful. He's married, has a great family.
Hell yeah!
And like,
has a band with his brother.
He's like, hey, you know, you haven't been in anything for a while. What's going on? He's like, I saved my money. I'm not bored.
Yeah.
I mean, you have some actors and actresses. Like, if I was an actor, I would do the Nick Cage way. I wouldn't care how good the movie is. I would just be in it. Okay. It's, say, we live in the Midwest. It's cold. Fly me to Florida. Fly me to Bermuda, wherever, to shoot a movie. That's fine. I'm staying on your dollar. That's why he's successful.
Exactly.
Like, watch this crap he's in. It's not good, but somebody else is paying for him to live, eat. Somebody else is paying for him to eat, sleep, and poop.
Yeah. But what's sad is that Kevin Bacon is not the standard bearer figurehead when it comes to the Tremors franchise and the Graboids. Of course, that goes to Michael Gross.
Yeah.
Because he's been in every Tremors movie and the TV series.
I work with a guy named Michael Gross.
Oh, there you go. Was he one time Michael J. Fox's dad on television?
No.
Then it doesn't count.
Reba McEntire's in the first Tremors movie.
She is.
Yeah, she's smoking.
She played Gross's wife in the movie.
I think she's a very fine lady. Always will be.
She's not bad. The first movie features one of my favorite...
She's your own kind, you gotta say that.
Yeah, we know our own. The first movie features one of my favorite one-liners from a character ever. And I remember watching it, because I saw the first Tremors movie on a recorded VHS tape from NBC in 1991... that also had Garth Brooks' first ever television concert on it, because my dad recorded it. And I didn't get the impact of the line in that because it was censored out, you know? But once I finally saw the uncensored version, it was awesome. It was after they took the elephant gun towards the end, and they killed that graboid that was breaking into Bert's basement because it came through the wall, and they killed it, and they're sitting there, and here comes the bleep button, so I'm going to get ready for this. He points his finger straight at the graboid, and he says, ha, 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 broke into the wrong goddamn break room, didn't you, you dumb s***?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, that is the best thing I've ever heard.
Every good, even B-rated movie has an awesome monster. And that's why I'm so glad we finally did. We've been talking about doing a monster episode for quite some time.
Oh god, yeah, we wanted to save for October, but then it comes and goes.
There was times that we talked about bringing on some people to talk about, I would have loved to have had Christian Rose back to talk about monsters. As well as he did with the
Alien Invasion?
Yes. Oh man, I was so upset I could not be a part of that episode because I went to see the Backstreet Boys.
But we'd love to have Rose back on, man. He's a busy man.
Yeah. I would have loved to have heard his input because, he'll tell you that, I think this is stupid, but the Loch Ness Monster could be my best friend.
That was a good episode. I mean, I'll never forget the look on his face when he realized that I classified the Avengers as part alien invasion film.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, it is. These heroes had to come together to fight back against an invasion of aliens in New York City. And you really think about it.
You are right, sir.
His face lit up. He's like, oh my god. You're absolutely right. So if Kristen Rose, you're out there, we'd love to have you back on the show at some point. It's just, he's a busy man. Schedule's got to line up. Same thing with Pixel Dan. We got to get him on here at some point.
And if there was a movie monster we forgot, please leave in the comments down below. Let us know. Let us know which ones we talked about were your favorites. Let us know which ones you thought were a complete waste of time. I don't care. If you think my Power Ranger story bothered you, let me know.
Yeah, don't be afraid to reach out to us, guys. We'd love to hear from each and every single one of you. We want to start the conversation. We want to talk to you. We want to get your input.
You know, I never had an Alpha 5 figure. You know who my Alpha was?
Who's that?
My Alpha was my Egon Spengler figure.
That was your Alpha?
Yeah, he still was Egon, but he did the role of Alpha. He built all the weapons for my Power Rangers.
I would have more believed if you would have said he was your Billy.
I actually had a one of my Planeteer figures.
Right.
The guy who did the fire. He was my Blue Ranger. He was Billy.
God, you know what? Speaking of Egon, that reminds me, last night when I was asleep, I had this vivid dream that I was a Ghostbuster. And it just keeps making me remember that I wish I could get the Proton Pack from Bob's Pro Shop.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh, man. If you've never seen...
If you want to buy us one, buy us two. Buy us two so we won't fight. But if we get one, Jake can have it every other weekend and 2 weeks in the summer.
2 weeks in the summer? There's 2 months in the summer.
I know friends who went through a divorce, and that's what they get.
Oh, I love how children of divorce think they got the corner market cornered on family discrepancy.
Yeah. And, okay, real quick while we're on this subject, I had a friend who's going through this.
Yeah.
And he has to pay all this money in child support because he has to take way more hours on at work to pay his bills and his ex-wife's past debt, all because she wanted to lay with a woman.
Oh, well, there you go.
Circle of life.
It's a wheel of fortune.
Yeah. Circle of life. You plant the seed, and then the seed you plant it in, you know, either bites you, that kills you, or, you know, whatever. I probably got the whole reference wrong. But I want to give one more honorary monster.
Okay.
And that's only because I told Brookie I would do it. Special shout out to the entire cast of Monsters, Inc.
No.
Shut up.
Doesn't count.
Does.
Then Randall Boggs counts. I think it's Boggs.
Lord Zedd is a monster. Goldar.
Goldar is more of a monster.
It's the Zord! Ah!
He's more of a monster.
Divatox, the only reason to watch Power Rangers Turbo.
Dude, if we did another Power Rangers episode, we'd have to go through and rank the best monsters, and they had some crap monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What about in Turbo 2, the Power Ranger movie, the lava guy?
I try not to remember Turbo.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It's like, hey, look, this hat has a weird devil face on it. That could be a monster. Oh, wow, so you got a hat that sprouts legs and just speaks with a really high
they had
voice.
What's that called? A submarine.
Uh-huh.
The size of a Volkswagen. Mm-hmm. That was so big.
Oh, yeah. They said Serpentera is the best monster they fought just because of the size of it.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
The Joker could be classified as a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could, in some cases, classify him as a monster. Whichever one you're talking about out of the three.
Yeah.
And there's three Jokers.
These are the things you know.
CBS cares.
Well, with that, we're going to wrap up this episode here. Again, thank you for stopping by. We hope you enjoyed our tells about, you know, the facts on the new Spider-Man movie. Our summer best and... Well, we don't even need to say what the worst was. We all know it was Ghostbusters.
Or Independence Day Resurgence.
I didn't see that.
I don't think very many did.
And, of course, check out the featured classic game, Rampage World Tour.
Exactly.
Remember, available on PlayStation 1, Sega Saturn, N64, Game Boy Color, PC, PlayStation 2, GameCube, and there was one, Rampage Total Destruction for the Nintendo Wii. So you got plenty of consoles to check it out on. Check it out.
Try
it out.
Exactly. And Total Destruction features the first and second Rampage as bonus games.
Yes. So 3-for-1 right there if you buy it on the Wii.
Exactly.
And with that being said,
don't forget to check us out online. Where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Big Stupid Elbow or on Facebook, Travis Weir.
Yep. You can find me at Jacob the Red. Find us at W Almost Finest. Facebook.com/worldsalmostfinest. And, of course, the Instagram, worlds.almost.finest. And if you're a cosplayer out there, we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, speaking of which, shout out to... we're going to start this new thing, but I want to give a shout out to Jake Eller. If you looked on my MySpace.
Wow.
look at there. If you looked on my Facebook and my Instagram. My Instagram is at Big Stupid Elbow as well. Anyway, I took a picture with him at PopCon, and I've been following, and he recently had some cool costumes for Gen Con, so
yeah.
Check this guy out. He's on Facebook. I haven't found him on Twitter, but he is on Instagram. He puts time, effort, and passion into his costumes. Shout out to Jake Eller.
Yep, speaking of cons, I think we need to start making plans about Horror Hound. Yeah, we might need to make this happen.
Blake Reed reference.
Why did you actually do the movement? They can't see you doing the movement.
So that way when they're watching the blank screen or the open abyss as they're listening.
This may happen. I had to get
Johnstone. You might.
You my buddy. You my buddy, Johnstone.
He doesn't say buddy.
No, he doesn't say buddy. I'm being nice.
We're
right
being
now.
Polite. And not degenerates.
Exactly. Thank you very much once again for checking out episode 62.
That's right, 62. Not quite the senior citizen, but we could still be a silver fox.
You know what? Let's do it old school. It's episode 62.
62.
Ha! And we'll be back later on for more installments of the World's Almost Finest Podcast.
Ain't no lie, baby. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye.